I think this, depending on how you're counting, is either the fourth or third message in our Fruit of the Spirit series. If you're not counting the introduction as one, then it's the third. If you're counting the introduction as one, then it's the fourth. Maybe it's the fifth. This would be the fifth one. Or the, okay, it doesn't matter. Here we go. I thought about calling the message Patience, Danya-san. But I didn't think all of you would get the reference. Wax on, wax off, you know, yeah, anyway. Yeah, okay, thank you. So I started to think about patience. You know, we spent some time talking about this idea that in order to produce the right kind of fruit in our life, instead of focusing on trying or wishing that fruit into existence, we've got to put the things in our life that will produce the kind of healthy fruit that we want to see. We've seen that with love. We've seen that with joy. We saw that last week with peace. And a lot of these things, they fit together. They're not separate. You can't just cut them apart and separate them one from the other very easily, because the reality is there's a lot of interlinking and there's a lot of overlap. And that's good, because it helps us kind of go from one to the other and to the next and to the next. So again, I'll reiterate, as you go away from this message today, this isn't as much about you trying to wish patience into existence in your life, because, you know, that's not going to be successful, right? I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more patient. Daddy, daddy, daddy. I'm going to be more patient. Daddy, daddy, daddy. What? It doesn't work that way. I started to think about this, though, and I came up with a really profound list of three things. This is deeply spiritually profound. And you can fill in the first few blanks here in a minute. I want to give you three reasons why patience is important, as far as I see it. You know, these aren't biblical. This is just my observation initially. So here they are. This is deep, deep stuff from deep within my brain. Number one, first reason, life can be challenging. And you can put any other word in there that would fit, maybe annoying. Life can be challenging. You know, we face things in life that try our patience, right? You maybe experience some, if you have children and you go to church on Sunday morning, you face those things. If you have a vehicle, you face those things. If you have a job and work with people, you have those things. If you're married, you may have those things. Life can be challenging. The second thing, and this one will, you know, I don't know, you might disagree with me. Number two, people can be dumb. I'm not listening to anybody specifically. I'm just saying, you know, you go around and you think to yourself, who came up with that? All you have to do is watch commercials and you think a committee agreed that was good and they put it on television and they should all be fired. And there are times when you're out in the streets and you're out and about and you're shopping and you're doing your thing and people do some really dumb things and it tries your patience. And it's okay, because they think the same about you probably. We're not exempt from that ourselves. Maybe you could put, you know, I can be dumb too. You know, how many times have you been the reason that somebody was impatient? You were the guy in the car that cut somebody off or was moseying down the street at 5 miles an hour. And anyway, that's another story. And the third reason, stuff breaks. I know, this is life changing. this is by no means a comprehensive list of reasons why we need patience, but I think it covers a lot of territory. Some of you are gifted with a little more patience than the rest of us. Some of you, maybe you find it comes a little more naturally. But we're told, as we've read in Galatians, that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God is in my life, then he should be producing patience. I should allow him to produce that patience. And if I don't have it, then it doesn't matter how spiritual I act or how much I look like I have things together. Again, it's an indication of what is going on in my heart or what's not going on in my heart if I gravitate towards being an impatient person as much as if I'm lacking love or joy or peace. And I tell you this in order to increase your knowledge and understanding of this world, in case you already didn't know, which I have a feeling you probably knew this stuff. The harsh truth is that entropy rules the universe. Entropy is the scientific law of things winding down. Stuff wears out. If you have clothing or vehicles or a body, you know this is true. This is the truth. Sometimes remembering this fact might help us gain a little patience. The same kind of patience displayed, if any of you have ever read Jules Verne classic, Around the World in 80 Days, Phileas Fogg, he didn't get ruffled very much. He's put his life savings on the line to prove that he can travel around the world in 80 days. And I'm thinking at various times in the story when I'd be chomping at the bit, you know, you're driving behind somebody slow and as if you being mad at them will make them go faster. You can't change when the plane lands. You can't change when the train leaves. And so he kind of water off a duck's back, just kind of let it go. Didn't panic. But there's a few scriptures that I want to bring to your attention. The first is a prayer. The next two are kind of like commands. And let's see what Paul has to say about patience in the life of a believer. Colossians 1, 9 through 12, he writes, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." There's a lot of prerequisites in this passage that leads to them having endurance and patience. And a lot of it comes back to having knowledge of God's will, spiritual wisdom and understanding, being strengthened with God's power so that you may have endurance and patience. So this relies heavily, as Paul's prayer for the Colossian believers relies heavily on God doing a work in their life so that they might display the endurance and the patience that he hopes for them. It means God's got to do something. You've got to let God do something in your heart. But it's interesting that he starts by asking God to fill them with the knowledge of his will through spiritual wisdom and understanding. We'll come back to that in a little bit here. A little farther in the letter here in chapter 3 of Colossians, he kind of gives them a command and builds on some of these concepts a little more. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So we see a little bit of this twofold thing that we've been talking about. Number one, there's something that God needs to do to make this happen. And so Paul prays this over them. "This is my prayer for you, that this is what God would do in you." And then later on he says, "This is what I want you to do." So God does something, you do something. All of these disciplines, there's always that discipline component. We have a tendency maybe to focus too much on that without really recognizing that the Spirit of God has to do something in your life that can't be done any other way. But the truth is, you know, we have these two facets, these two things that we have to keep in mind. So here he's commanding them to purposefully put on compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. The writer of Hebrews says it this way: "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." You know, patience is a tough word for us. It's a tough word. You know, we've even heard people preach, "Well, don't pray for patience or God will send you a trial." You know what I say to that? Hogwash. Here's why. Because what we've talked about before is when we make a commitment to God, God doesn't challenge us in our commitments. Satan challenges us in our commitments. So when you say, "I want to be a more patient person," God's like, "Great. And Satan says, oh yeah? Hey look, when the enemy resists us, we can count it joy because it's an opportunity for us to put into practice the things that we have committed God that we're going to do. And the reality is, yes, the enemy will test you. He will test you in all kinds of ways. I'm going to be more patient, and then 43 annoying people will show up on your doorstep and be driving in front of you for the next 4 days. It's going to happen because the enemy wants you to fail in your commitment. That's why we can't focus so much about the whole discipline aspect of it, because we will fail when we make it all about us and our strength. Satan will win every time. God wants you to succeed, and he wants you to be a patient person, but he wants to produce that in you primarily through what you focus upon and what you pour into yourself. We don't live in a very patient culture, so this is going to require us to focus on things that we're not surrounded by. I mean, good night. You can go on the internet and practically have an answer to any question within 10 seconds, and if you don't get it fast enough, you're clicking the back button trying to find the next website. I'm a happy member of Amazon Prime. I can order anything for the kids' birthdays and have it in 2 days for free. And if I really need it fast, I can pay $3.99 and have it tomorrow. I'm waiting for Amazon to develop time travel and have, day before yesterday shipping. Something shows up at your door and, oh, I must be going to order that in 2 days. It's bound to happen. It's bound to happen. I've heard of some scientists that have developed a device that they believe they can send a message backwards. I don't know. Science, there are times it boggles my mind. But if there's a way to make it happen, Amazon.com will make it happen, I'm sure. If only to fool you into buying stuff you weren't going to buy, because, oh, I must be going to buy this tomorrow. So, all right. In the Bible, we have Old Testament words and New Testament words for patience, which I'm not going to pronounce for you, but this isn't difficult. The word long-suffering is one that you hear a lot. In the Old Testament, the word that we see most commonly used for the word patient in the Old Testament literally means long-suffering and slow to anger. That brings an interesting aspect to it. We don't always think about patience in those terms, but when we're not patient, usually what happens is we don't suffer long and we're angry. So in the New Testament, again, it means long-suffering and forbearance. The willingness to kind of bear through some things, bear with people, put up with stuff. And as I was thinking about these definitions, I kind of had a little moment of epiphany here. We often aren't patient because we have a low toleration for suffering. And when I say suffering, I don't even mean real suffering, at least what we define as suffering. Usually what we define as suffering is what? Inconvenience. Oh, the patience of Job. Because you had a bad hair day? What? Because your car ran out of gas? What? For us, it's interesting that the word long-suffering isn't really used anymore. Because we think we're suffering and we're just inconvenienced and we don't even have a toleration for that. A lot of the disciples, a lot of the Christians in the early years, they were long-suffering. Put us to shame. So we didn't get our needs met yesterday, or we didn't see an answer to prayer 20 minutes ago. And when you really stop and look at it, am I suffering or have I just been inconvenienced? Have I even been inconvenienced? Here's the truth about patience. Going back to that first verse that we read, we saw words like knowledge and wisdom. And the reality is knowledge and wisdom will breed patience. Knowledge and wisdom will breed patience. I'll tell you why I say that in a moment. There's a verse in Proverbs 19:11 that says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. There's a lot in this. It's a pretty broad dynamic. Sometimes our impatience is due to the fact that we are lacking knowledge about the person or the situation that we find ourselves in. We'd rather get offended than take the time to figure out why the person did that, said that, why that situation happened. And so what I want to encourage you, and if you get anything out of this message today, just this point, I think, could make a huge difference in your outlook as it relates to how patient you are with others. It's imperative to purposefully gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding about any situation or any person that requires it. People, for example, let's try to make it a little more personal. Let's look at people. When you're dealing with people, it's important, it's vital that you learn about who they are, what their situation is, and where they have come from. Now, stop for a minute and think about this. There are times when you have been offended and you've been hurt, and maybe rightfully so. But just for a moment, did you have all the information? There's a cliche statement that is very true that says, hurt people hurt people. And if you know that about people, that hurt people will hurt people, when someone hurts you, is it as much about you as it is about them? And you might say, well, I don't know. That's the problem. Our tendency is to be so self-focused, we take on hurt that may not have ever been meant for us in the first place. And so when you stop and, okay, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, but go beyond that, who are they? Why are they the way they are? What have they experienced? What went on in their life today? What went on in their life this morning? What's gone on in their life? What kind of childhood did they have? What kind of parents did they have? What kind of parents did they not have? How is their life? What are they going through right now? You see, when somebody hurts you, if you take the time to learn or find out these things, it may do a great deal to increase your patience, especially for that really annoying person at work. And if you can't find out and you have no way to find out, this is where God makes us really cool. Ask God to show you. And without him having to give you details, it's amazing how God can give you insight into somebody's motivation that you couldn't find out any other way, and how when you learn that, it changes your whole outlook. You see, there's a scripture in Hebrews 4 that we've talked about in the past that says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Why do I share that with you? Because when you go to the Word of God, God can reveal things to you about you and things to you about others that you would not know otherwise. And so if you're focusing on what God says and you're letting God give you insight into your own heart, which sometimes you don't even understand, and into the hearts of those people that have hurt you or those people that have wronged you or that boss that you work with that just seems to have it out for you, or all those people in your life, the people on the school board or the people at the, you know, look, these are people that they're working through life on their own and they may or may not even know the Lord. We spend a lot of energy being angry and offended at things that aren't really about us. You know, Satan is the one that's running around. He's like the one that gets he's the third sibling that gets the two kids fighting and then leaves the room. And it was never really about them in the first place. That's how the enemy works. So if you can get beyond that and say, okay, I'm going to gain as much knowledge and wisdom as I can, not through gossip, but through spiritual guidance, so that God can give me insight into the situations and the people that I'm dealing with, knowledge and wisdom in this case will then breed patience. At least it should. It's imperative to take the time to do this, one way or another. Patience is taking that time, which brings me to my next point, and it's related. Patience is a willingness to take a little extra time to pause and process all of your choices and decisions. Patience, the willingness to take a little extra time to pause and process all of your choices and decisions. Remember that God is not short on time. For the most part, if you have to make a decision right now or yesterday, I'd be skeptical of it being a God thing. But it's 1995 and I have to call in the next 20 minutes. It's okay, it'll be at Alco next week in the As Seen on TV section. Satan is the only one short on time. God has all the time in the world. The idea there being opportunities that I have to decide in the next 10 minutes. Good luck with that. Here are some great scriptures from the from the book of Proverbs about wisdom and foolishness as it relates to patience and impatience. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless." Have you ever made a choice that was hot-headed and reckless? Just one person. Okay, good. You know, and you knew it was due to a lack of patience, right? A lack of patience leads to hot-headed, reckless decisions. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, "It is to a man's honor to avoid quarrel, but every fool is quick to quarrel." To a man's honor, I think I was reading ahead of myself. It's to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Next time you want to jump into a conversation and start arguing, just stop for a minute. Is it even necessary? Proverbs 18:2, "A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions." You know, what does that have to do with it? Well, the reality is sometimes we like to hear ourselves talk, and we are quick to speak and not quick to hold our opinion. Even a fool, when he is silent, is deemed wise. No point in proving to people you're a fool by just talking. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him." And finally, Proverbs 16:32 that says, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. I find that interesting because there are times when warriors are needed. There are times when there is a warrior who is needed to take a city, but the writer here says, you know, if you really have to pick the guy that can control his temper, the patient man. Of course, we're reminded in 1 Corinthians 13:4 that love is what? Patient. So with all of these things in mind, we seek knowledge, we seek understanding, we seek wisdom in order that patience may be bred in our life. That's kind of like the food for the fruit of patience. Then we make sure that we're willing to pause and take the time that we need to process the choices and the decisions that we make. And finally, patience keeps its eye on the future, not the moment. And this is where we fall prey so often. We are so willing to sacrifice the future for the moment. I'll say something now to a person to make them happy now, even though later they're going to be really mad because I don't have any intention of following through. Oh yeah, we'll be there. I won't lie outright. We'll try to be there. How hard did you try? Well, I was watching TV and, no, anyway. The impatient person sees the inconvenience of the moment, sees the problems in the here and the now, and without thinking about consequences, rushes in to try to fix things without determining what will this mean for the future? What will this mean for future investment? What will this mean consequently? What consequences will I reap by making this choice now that will cause me to suffer later? I've had this theory. Well, I don't even know if it's a theory. I just wanted to kind of test it out. I want to be able to walk up to people on the street, but it just would require me to have more money. I want to walk up to people on the street and say, "I'll give you $10 right now, but if you're willing to wait for a year, I'll give you $1,000. I'd be curious to see who would prefer the 10 over the 1,000. I don't know if that's the right number or not. I'm just something I've been processing through my head, because I know that there are people that will, you know, you watch Pawn Stars on the History Channel, and there are people that sell stuff. You know those guys are not going to give them a good deal. They've got something and it's worth $10,000. What's he going to offer them? You know, maybe three? And he's going to mark it up to 12 in the store. And I can't believe the number of people that settle for the price. I'm like, go on eBay or something. Find some collectors. Sell your item for what it's worth. But no, because I need the money now. J.G. Wentworth, thank you, bud. It's my money and I need it now. It doesn't matter that I'm going to be paying 20% of the money to the card sharks or the loan sharks that are giving me the money now so they can collect the rest of my payments. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's my soapbox. The reality is we are so temporary-minded people. They take out, you know, we take out loans and there's high interest rates and we do these things, you know, and because we want something now without really counting the cost to how it's going to pan out later. Ecclesiastes 7, 8 through 9 says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. That's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to provoke us in our spirit to make hasty choices that have consequences because we think that right now is more important than the end. And we're prideful enough to think that we deserve that now rather than be patient for a time when perhaps we can earn it or know for sure whether or not it's appropriate. This last one is interesting. Proverbs 25:15 says, through patience a ruler can be persuaded and a gentle tongue can break a bone. I had this strange picture of like, you know, a steak bone or a chicken bone and I'm trying to break it with my tongue. Ha, ha, ha. It's just a strange picture. But really, this is about the power of words and the power of patience and the power of doing something consistently and slowly over time, and eventually the thing that is resisting will break. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. And God is trying to tell us that a patient approach can often be the most powerful approach if you're willing to see the process through and take the time to do what needs to be done and let God do what he wants to do rather than trying to take matters in your own hands and press it through. We got to do this. We got to do it now. In fact, we got to do it yesterday. Really, why? Chill. Chillax. Relax. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience is better than pride. This is a challenging one. It's difficult. This is an area where we have a tendency to react to our circumstances and our situations more than be proactive. And there has to be a place where we are willing to step back from all of this stuff and say, God, I want to seek your wisdom. I desire to seek your understanding and your knowledge about the people that I'm around, my family members, the people I work with, the situations that I'm in, and seek your face for wisdom and knowledge and understanding to help me know things about the people that I relate to and the situations that I'm in so that I don't get so focused on my own vision and my own understanding of where I'm at that I do something reckless. I mean, the truth is, I think if I asked any of you, do you want to be a patient person? You would probably all look at me and say, absolutely, I want to be a patient person. Now, are you willing to do what it takes to be a patient person? That's a different conversation. But I want you to be encouraged because patience, again, there's that discipline component, but so much of it comes down to saying, God, I need you to bestow this upon me. I need your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding to become the kind of person that displays the fruit of patience in the way that you want to see in my life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. You are a God that even though we can read the scripture and be overwhelmed with what it is that you require of us, we are encouraged because you don't tell us to do these things and then walk away and expect us to figure it out on our own. You're the loving parent that says, I expect this of you, and here's how. and let me give you the strength, and let me give you my spirit, and let me give you my word so that you can do and be these things that you can't be on your own. So I pray, God, as we go through our week, this is probably a discipline that so many of us struggle with. But instead of looking at it as a discipline, God, we need to start looking at it as a fruit. And we want to feed ourselves and feed our spirit with things, with knowledge, with wisdom, with understanding, with insight from you, God, that will breed the fruit of patience in our life. So that we don't get ruffled, we don't make poor decisions because we're under pressure. So that we don't say things to people that we regret, especially to those that we love or coworkers or unbelievers that we're close to or that we work with that would cause them to maybe be bitter or angry at you. We don't want to be guilty of that, Lord. We need this in ways that many of us are unwilling to admit. And Father, I pray with all that is in me for each person in this room, God, that you would fill them, as Paul prayed for the Colossians, the knowledge and understanding and wisdom of your spirit, that they might have great patience and endurance, because that's where the strength is. We thank you for these promises, Father. We thank you for these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Look at this person next to you and say, you might not be patient, but God's not done with you yet. All right. God bless. Have a fantastic week.